Do you know what I'm talking about when I say that game where you look at a really close picture of something and you're supposed to figure out what it is? And then you see the really big image and you're like, oh, that was a ladybug. Or like the next image you see like something furry and you have no idea what it is. And the next image, oh, that was a picture of a bumblebee. And like the zoomed in, crazy up close picture. And the next one is, oh, that was obviously this. How could I not have known that squiggly line was supposed to be the Eiffel Tower? That sort of thing. All right, so I'm getting some head nods, some just blank stares. So what that has to do, though, that has to do with perspective. There's a different perspective on looking at something really up close and detailed and something really far away and being able to see the whole picture of what it is. Now, those are both good things. Being up close and seeing detail is important because, hey, microscopes are great. Being able to know like what's going on in certain things is great. Being able to analyze specific passages of Scripture is great, too. But today I want to do a kind of broadened overview sort of look because, hey, figuring out what in the world you're talking about in general is good, too, if all you see right now is fuzz. So we're going to zoom out a little bit and talk about the teaching that we're going to go through for actually the year of 2014 and try and get the whole nutshell of everything I'm going to try and cover in 2014 sermon-wise in one sermon. So obviously it's not going to be very detailed oriented in some of those things. I hope there's some details for real there, but you kind of know what I mean with that. I'm also going to be looking at highlights scattered throughout the Bible, so I won't be focusing on any one passage in particular. We'll be bouncing around a little bit. Feel free to write down the scriptures I'm using or take notes in some other way, but we're not going to highly detail analyze one specific passage. We'll be moving around a little bit. Now, we've also started to have little note sections in the bulletins, and at the top of there, and also on the screen behind me in a second, you'll see these four words, know, love, go, and disciple. And now those four words, they make this really cool kind of all-inclusive statement about what we want everyone at Ridgeview to do. It comes out in this nice, easy-to-remember sentence of know, love, and go disciple, but it's not one sentence, it's four individual words we want to talk about. Know, love, go, and disciple. I'm going to briefly unpack each one today, and then I'll unpack all four as the year goes on, and I'll spend teaching time on each one. I'm not going to hammer on all four words exactly. We'll be broad in our look at those four words, and sometimes we'll take breaks and things like that. But for the most part, that's the overview of the teaching for the year of 2014. Know, love, go, disciple. And they also encompass what I'd kind of like every participant in Ridgeview to do if we did these four things. So let's start with know. And we all kind of know the word know, if you can say that's kind of like saying what is. But you can know the word know. And knowledge, information, awareness, comprehension, these things are knowing. And that's the first thing I want to talk about. It matches pretty well with Ridgeview's current purpose statement, which is know God. And one thing that's important for us to focus on really is knowledge. God is an all-knowing God, so just by learning things, you become like God, which is pretty cool. But I'm not saying that you have to understand everything to go anywhere. Obviously, I've got three other words I'm talking about, so if you don't know everything, it's okay. But there's a few basic things you kind of should know before you can go any further. And so this is what I want to talk about. There's a basic understanding of God and His plan that we all need to know in order to get further in the other four words. These things that I'm going to talk about are things like John 3:16, where we learn that God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. And John 14:6, where Jesus answers that He is the way and the truth and the life, and that no one comes to the Father except through Him. Those are some of the basic truths that I want to try and make sure that we as a church know. And I'm going to make sure I spend some teaching time on making sure that we talk about those basic truths, that God sent His Son to die for us, and that that Son is the way and the truth and the life, and that no one comes to heaven instead of hell except for through Jesus. And we want to know God's plan throughout history. And so that's one of the focuses over the course of this next year. It's hopefully always a focus of everything we do, knowing that God sent His Son to die for us. I'll talk about it more than just after this year, but that's going to be one of the main focuses of the year. Now, I want to talk about one part in particular about knowing this, though, and that's found in 1 John chapter 1, verse 1 through 3, where we can read, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we've seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. That's in 1 John chapter 1. And in there, there's a connection between knowing and something else. And it's easy to miss with just one read-through. So I'll read that last sentence I read again. It says, "That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you." That's the knowing part. That which we've seen and that which we know. "So that you too may have fellowship with us." The knowledge doesn't just stop at knowledge. It's so that you may have fellowship. Knowledge is built up and collected together for something in particular, and that is fellowship. When I say know, love, go, disciple throughout this year, I mean that the knowledge component of this plan is that knowledge is made manifest in our gathering together. So it's kind of, when I said it's a roadmap, kind of what I want everyone participating in Ridgeview to do in this know category is meet together. It's applied by Christians meeting together as a church. We might know that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, and many of us have already acted out on that knowledge by confessing and being baptized. But how do we keep applying that knowledge, though? How do you keep growing in knowledge? And I say it's with meeting with the church. Now, this is kind of a serious issue. It sounds really easy, but it's actually a pretty serious issue, because one thing I actually dwell on in my thoughts a lot is that a lot of people at Ridge, you only show up once or twice every couple months. And that's something that I think about quite often, because how do we show priority in our lives with something we only spend a couple hours with every once in a while, a few weeks at most? How do you live out a serious commitment with something if you only make it part of your life just that rarely? Now, if you're sick or have health problems or something like that, that's totally different. That's a different boat. You know, I understand why you're not here. But how often do we put just other priorities in higher places than that? And you can't pull the, oh, well, I know Jesus, so I don't have to spend so much time at church because, you know, me and God are good. The thing is, the church is Jesus' bride, and you can't be best friends with somebody if you don't really like their wife. You can try it. It just doesn't work out in your favor. I've got one friend. He got married, and his wife doesn't seem to like me, and so I'm not that much friends with that guy anymore because me and the wife don't get along. You have to be friends with Jesus' bride if you want to take Jesus seriously. That's the way it is. And so we do have to meet regularly with his church. So how do we know? Well, I'll teach God's truth throughout this year, but I also need Ridgeview to commit to being committed, to be here, to be willing to know. So know, love, go, disciple. Let me go on to the next one, which is love. All you need is love, love. Love is all you need. Yeah, I skipped that one line, sorry. But, you know, those lyrics, I don't think those actually apply here totally. Love is all you need if you're talking about God's love, and then you want to unpack God's love for what it all means, because it means a ton. But I don't think that's what the Beatles had in mind when they wrote that song. But the idea of love is obviously one of those very easy to understand but harder to understand the more you go along with it and the more you think about it concepts. But I want to talk about Christian love, though. Love that's shared with others. Love that's shared with God. Love that cares about people not for what they can provide for you, but caring for others just for the simple fact that you can care for them. That's the kind of love God shows us. He cares for us just because he can. And that's the kind of love we should show others, too, not expecting anything in return. We just take care of people because we can take care of them. Jesus said that all of his Bible could be summarized into just two commandments. And that's found in Matthew 22. Luke 10 also talks about it for a different reason. But Jesus said the first and greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, and mind. In a different spot, it also has strength. The second commandment, Jesus said, is love your neighbor as yourself. So if you can summarize the whole Bible into those things, they're kind of important. Further, we learn this really hard truth in 1 John chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. And it says this, "Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling." Whoever says he's in the light but hates his brother is actually not in the light, according to 1 John. So if you're not loving others, if you're not putting others first, there might be a problem with your salvation. It says so right there in Scripture. So loving is a really big deal. And perhaps you're thinking, you know, love is a really broad concept, and it is a really broad concept. It means so many different things and encompasses a whole lot, and we'll talk about that as the year goes on, but I can recommend one easy thing right now. In this thing that I'm saying, love, you know, love, go, disciple, where I say I want everyone in Ridgeview to do these things, I'm saying the step of no can be aimed into just this one particular direction. The no is making the Sunday morning experience of coming to learn and worship with the body of Ridgeview. And that's what's traditionally considered church. But love, go, and disciple are also part of church too. It's not just traditionally showing up Sunday morning, but love I want to extend to join a small group or a life group. Don't just only meet in the big group, meet in the small group as well, because church doesn't end in what we traditionally think of as church, which is this gathering right here. Church is so much more than that. Now, are you expected to love people outside of your life group? Yes, you are expected to love everyone. But does a life group, when you actually meet with people regularly, make it a whole lot easier to actually love a few people in particular? Yeah, it makes it a whole lot easier if you actually spend time with someone to love them. So it's kind of an important way, and an easy way even, to start loving a few people. In the beginning of the biblical book of Acts, we find the church says that everyone shares and no one had need. Everyone has things in common and they're all sharing their wealth with each other, even selling possessions when someone else has a need, and everybody gets along and does all these things. And we oftentimes talk about that, but don't talk about the other just as equally important part of what the church did then. It says they met together in each other's homes daily. And that's how they actually knew each other had needs and how they knew how to help each other out and how they knew how to care for and love each other, because they met with each other all the time. You can't really sell your possessions and give to someone and know they're going to use them for what they actually need instead of abusing it if you don't actually meet with the person and things like that. That's part of the beginning of Acts there, is they were committed to each other and knowing each other. Now, a commitment to meet with each other daily is not something on command on everyone at Ridgeview, but I will ask that we at least find a group of people to meet with weekly. Daily is pretty hard. I'm not going to lay that down on you. That is a biblical example. But I am going to say at least try weekly meeting with some people. It's not enough just to come here on Sunday morning, because Sunday morning's main focus is not on loving others. I hope we do love others while we're here, but that's not the main focus. The main focus is worshiping with song and getting some teaching time and just learning and knowing about God. Learning about others isn't really the main focus. There's too many people here to do it really effectively. You know, we all kind of just come in the building and then go our own separate ways after that. Loving is not the main focus of Sunday morning. But one thing that the main focus is loving is life groups. So I want us to commit to being here on Sunday mornings, but also commit to meeting with each other regularly throughout the week. And that enables you to get to know some people, which enables you to actually for real love some people as well. And you know what? Jesus did it. He taught to the big crowds, but he also had 12 guys that he met with all the time. So it's kind of a Jesus example. So to recap so far is know, knowledge, and understanding. Commit to know and show up on Sunday morning. Love is share and take care and help other people and take care of them, but commit to and meet with a small group of Christians so you can really start loving them. And here at Life at Ridgeview, we call that life groups, so go ahead and join one. So the next part is know, love, and go. There's an imbalance that occurs if we just focus on loving people, just getting to know them, things like that, and building up our knowledge. If that's all we do, we become very imbalanced Christians. And spending time with other people isn't just enough. What I want everyone at Ridgeview to participate is also in going. Zechariah chapter 11 kind of talks about the opposite of going. And I'm going to talk about that chapter. I'm not going to read the whole chapter to us, but I'm going to summarize a little bit, because it talks about what happens when you don't go, when you don't serve, when you don't help out others. And it talks about the worthless leaders of the Israelites, actually. It talks about how they're doing absolutely nothing for the country because they're bad leaders and they're not going. And at the end of the chapter, it lists a few things, that a worthless leader or a worthless shepherd, it says in the passage, what a worthless shepherd does. And it says, a worthless shepherd does not care for those being hurt. A worthless shepherd does not raise up the young. A worthless shepherd does not heal the wounded. A worthless shepherd does not maintain the healthy. A worthless shepherd lives off the fat of just a few and tears them down by doing so, though. We know that that's what a bad leader or body of leadership does. And I really don't want Ridgeview to be a worthless shepherd. But sometimes we do act a little bit like that. Actually, a lot of churches act a lot like this. How often do we care about those who are hurt? Or how often do we care about raising up the young? Or how often do we care about maintaining the ones that are healthy? How often do we live off of just the 5, 10, maybe 15 people who actually serve and just wear them out until they're too tired to keep serving anymore or serve well, even if they keep serving? That's the picture of a lot of churches. So we need to ask, who are we serving? Are only the 5, 10, 15 people of Ridgeview serving, and so we eventually cut them down or make them ineffective, or What are we doing to make sure that Christians stay in the faith? Or how many of us actually care about what happens in the kids' programming and actually take time to help raise up kids in the way they should go? Who are we helping out? And the go step is all about that. It's not about being a bad shepherd. It's about going out and doing things we're supposed to do. Where are you serving? Because it's not enough to just show up on Sunday mornings, and it's not enough to even show up on Sunday mornings and meet with a small group of people. We also have to go out and do things as well. Over the course of 2014, Ridgeview is going to be revamping some of its ministries and starting some new ones, and we're going to call them ministry teams, and each team will get a leader, and so we're going to have lots of different ways to get plugged in. We're going to have teams for the nursery, another team for maintaining the building, another team for elementary-aged kids, another team for students, another team for security even, another team for reaching out to Ridgeview's visitors, another team for missions work, another team for even the kitchen help, another team for greeters and hospitality, for worship arts, for community service, and things like that and more. And they will take a while to roll out. We're going to wait and train up leaders in them because we don't want the same 5 or 10 or 15 people who always do everything leading all those different groups, because that won't work either and we're just in as bad of a spot. So it's going to take a while to roll some out, and you won't see all of them immediately, but we'll be slowly doing that, and those are different ways to get plugged in. And granted, Chris and myself will oversee a few of them directly and all of them indirectly at least, but we want others to be empowered, not just in know and not just in love, but also in go, and to lead people in those areas and to serve in them. Jesus' last words recorded in Matthew were for his followers to go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that he commanded. And I don't expect any one of us to be a one-man army capable of finding a person and discipling them to do everything that Jesus commanded. I don't expect that in any one of us to be able to teach everything Jesus commanded to another person. But I do believe that each of us have a specific skill set that allows us to teach someone a piece of what Jesus commanded and a piece of discipleship to someone else that no one else could just as effectively teach. I think we all have a special gift that lets us do a piece of that better than anyone else. I think that's the way God intended, is for us all to work together. And so when you get plugged in into ministry teams and volunteer in certain areas, in order to make sure when we're all working together, we do disciple someone in everything that Jesus commanded. So if you want to be a part of where Ridgeview's heading, at least in 2014, we're trying this out, know by showing up to Ridgeview's whole group gatherings, love by joining the small group gatherings, go by figuring out what your gifts and talents are and get plugged in doing those things. And now let's get to the last one, which is disciple. Some of you might be breathing a sigh of relief because I just said it's the last one. And others of you might be more concerned because the word disciple has the same root word as discipline. And so this step takes work. Discipleship is something that builds on all three of the other ones. It's an extension of know, except that it's a desire to make sure that you know all the stuff yourself. Don't just be committed to showing up with the big group. Be committed to showing up for God in all areas of your life. It's also an extension of love, except that it's a desire to make sure that others are not just being loved, but that you love other people enough to make sure that they're knowing and going themselves. Whether or not you need to help someone know the plan of salvation, or whether or not you need help encourage someone to go and do something. Disciple is also an extension of go, except that you're incorporating service into more than just a ministry. More than just joining a ministry team, you're incorporating service into all areas of your life. I have a little note on my office stuck in my wall. It's about this big, and it's titled Washing the Dishes. It sits below my giant Thomas Kinkade picture that has an AT-ST walking through the scenery from Star Wars. But the little note is called Washing the Dishes. And the reason why it says that, and the reason why I've got it stuck there, is because it's a really cool thought that with a proper realization of Jesus coming down to be man and coming down to the mundane, is that God can inspire anything out of the mundane. God can take something as simple as washing the dishes and make it an act of worship if you do it with the right heart. And discipleship is that. It's realizing God can empower our lives in anything as long as we're doing them knowing that, hey, we're flourishing in our lives, and we're becoming more like Christ just by taking care of steps that we all have to kind of deal with. That's part of what the incarnation teaches us, and it's part of what disciple is, that even just washing the dishes can be part of our act of being closer, of coming closer to God. The word disciple is seeking after God in all that you do. It's realizing that you can also know more, love more, and go do more for the kingdom and actually pursue that. For another description of what I'm talking about here, this one's a longer passage, so I'll read it out of the Bible instead of just my notes, but Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18 tell us this. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. It says, keep alert, take up armor, be ready to take a stand, do things. Put these pieces of armor on every day because the battle is constant. There's a constant barrage of pulling us away from God. It says, keep putting that armor on. Always be discipling yourself to be ready for things. So for each of the four steps that I want to focus on for this know, love, go, disciple, I want easily teachable and easily reachable, easily something easily doable point that we can all try and grasp onto and say, yeah, I can do at least that much. With know, it's gather with church when we meet. With love, it's join a life group. With go, it's join a ministry team of Ridgeview. For disciple, that one's actually a little bit harder to make into an easy point. But I want to say, as iron sharpens iron, I want to challenge all of us to start meeting with someone else. Invest in someone else's life and make sure they're pursuing discipleship. The application that I want to say for this last step of disciple is to make sure that you are discipling others and that others are discipling you. This can be called mentoring or it can be called accountability partners, however you want to describe it, although I've seen lots of accountability partnerships fail because it turns into just a venting session about how much sinning you've been doing. So do something better than that. But start meeting with one or two other people on a regular basis and use it as a launching point to encourage discipleship and to know and love and go more and to become a greater disciple of our Lord Jesus. This actually won't be an official ministry of Ridgeview. With no, there's the official ministry of, yeah, this is official, we're gathering here Sunday morning. Love is, yeah, it's official life group. Go, yeah, there's ministry teams. Disciple, no, you've got to kind of figure that one out on your own as well. It is the harder one. It's the one that makes the other ones more serious and more real. And that one, we're not going to launch anything official. It'd be crazy hard to manage everyone's mentoring relationships. But I want you to figure out how to do it on your own. Maybe you do need to start with no, love, or go first and work on those for a while. But we will push disciple as well. So in conclusion, I want to summarize the big overview of 2014 and this roadmap that I want all participants at Ridgeview to join in with. And so I'll say, know is know the plan of salvation. Know the story of God. Know he's working in this world today. And how do we apply that? We can apply that in so many ways. But we can start applying it by being committed to showing up for Ridgeview when we're meeting here together. Come to Sunday mornings. Be committed in knowing him in that way. Love is love God, love people, love others. But make sure that you're setting aside a time to actually love people yourself. And how do we apply that? We can apply that in a whole lot of ways. But I want to say, let's start by becoming an active participant in Ridgeview's life groups. Go, we've got phrases from Jesus, lots of them in the Bible, that say, go and do likewise. Go and make disciples. Go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Go and work in his vineyard. He asks us to go and do something. God has granted you with a skill set that can be used for wonderful things. Find out what you could do and do it. And how do you apply that? You join a ministry team. We haven't even picked all of the team leaders yet, or even all of the ministry teams themselves yet. So if there's something that you're really excited about and feel a calling and know your skill sets for that, come and talk to me. We can talk about either plugging you in or making you a leader or something such as that, and how you can help the church and the community around us. Disciple is the last one. Invest in your life with Christ. Know more, love more, and go do more. And how do we apply that? Again, it can be done in a whole lot of ways, but make sure you're spending time in prayer and in the Bible. But I also want to make sure that you're personally encouraging someone else to do that too. The take-home action step for that point is to start mentoring someone. That's the overview for what we want accomplished at Ridgeview and what I'm going to talk about for 2014. I'm going to talk about those four things. And if everyone here committed to those four things, some pretty amazing things, I think, would take place amidst the people of Ridgeview. Can they become formulaic, though, and can they become just robotic and monotonous? Yeah, they can. Life groups can stink if you do them that way, or meeting on Sunday morning can be really boring, or, trust me, or going can just become something you do just to check off a list, and now I've done that, and okay, I'm doing what Ridgeview expects me to do, and so I'm a good Christian now, right? It can become a list like that, and that's not the idea. And yeah, it can do that, but if you actually try and actually commit and try and be genuine about doing those things and do them because, hey, there's lots of biblical examples of doing these things in Scripture, then maybe they won't be so robotic if we actually try them out. Say, hey, I want to try these things because I think that's a way to become an effective disciple of Jesus Christ. So it's almost the start of the new year, and it's a time when everybody makes resolutions and things like that. And that's just a date. It's just a way to mark the passing of time, so it's not really that special. But while everybody else is making resolutions, maybe we should resolve to do some pretty cool things for Ridgeview Christian Church. Ridgeview is not just a building. It's not the place that we meet here. I mean, that's the name on the sign, but this building just happens to be where the Christians who make up Ridgeview meet. And Ridgeview is only as good as the people in Ridgeview are willing to disciple and are willing to know and are willing to love and are willing to go. It's only as nice of a church as everyone's willing to commit to it. And that includes each of you here, and even those of us who didn't make it today. Resolve this year to know and resolve to love and resolve to go and resolve to disciple. And do it now. Don't even wait until the start of the new year. Resolve to make your decisions right today. If you'd like to make commitments about any of these things, there's a couple different ways you can do it. You can meet with me in this next song that we're about to sing. You can call the church office or meet with me after service or just try and plan a time where you can meet with me about getting plugged into a ministry team or helping out in some area. If you want to discuss knowing Jesus, though, I really do recommend you meet with me during the song and as soon as possible because that's something that actually requires an RSVP and you don't know when it's going to be come due and you're going to have that in. So don't wait longer than necessary in the response of knowing a God who sent his son to die for us. But please go ahead and stand because we'll sing this next song and pray with me while we're standing. God, I thank you for this time that we could meet as Ridgeview Christian Church, this time that we could come out as your body and participate with each other in this big service. Help us to know you more and to love you and your people and your creations more and to go and do more for you and your kingdom and to disciple ourselves to be just serious about these other three things. Help us to do these things. Help us to be changed people. Help us to make Ridgeview a changed place more and more for the better, always changing for the better, to become closer to you, because we can never attain that. So as long as we're here on earth, help us to be continually pursuing more of what we can be. Help us to take these things seriously. Help us to make any decisions we need to make seriously, and help us to dwell on the thoughts that we need to make ourselves more effective disciples of you. Be with us in this time, and be with us as we go out from this place in a little bit. In Jesus' name, amen.